Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
What are we going to talk about today, boys?
Today is the
most important day.
It's a big day in the negotiations, Ray.
No, I mean, I got a lot of feedback on yesterday's segment.
Yeah, not about real stuff.
All the, what was it called? Like fakepenis.com or something like that?
Fake pecker.
Yeah, didn't go
well. I got more texts and tweets about yesterday than just about anything else that we do.
Actually, we haven't even brought it up in the first 90 minutes. Hayes, did you have any blowback at all?
I got a couple of texts and calls wondering what was going on. I had a buddy call me today. He was out for dinner with a client. His client was listening.
Oh, my Lord.
And he's like, you got to find out the backstory between, you know, your boy and his wife and the circumcision at 30. And, yeah, there's been a lot of people snooping around looking for details.
Did you hear from him himself?
I have not heard from him personally. We may be on the outs.
Yeah, you're on the outs for sure.
our relationship may have been cut. Yeah. But you broke the whole levee open, dude. You were the one telling. You had to go back in and
circle back,
you know?
Yeah. So that's, and that kind of led into this. You're like, I think I can trump this.
Exactly.
I don't know why I felt obligated to do that, but I guess when you start talking about horror stories, everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Ooh, and it's so true,
that's
man.
That's a real one.
Like, Ray, you and I, we were texting this morning. We've been doing this show for 7 or 8 years. I have never had anybody stop me and go, your take on Kadri last night? Unreal. Great take. It's always the stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the, you know, my dad's name's Gary. What do you think? I'm like, that's great. His name is Gary. You know, I wear New Balance shoes. I heard about you talking about circumcisions and all that kind of stuff. So that's the reality, man. That's the way it goes.
It's a multi-purpose show.
That's right. Yeah, you can't. Don't pigeonhole this show, man. You never know what you're going to get with us. But I guess everyone thought you were talking about Nylander because we're under 48 hours away from the big deadline.
Please stop the
madness. Well, actually, I'll pose this to Ray. I think Mike Babcock is talking about it a lot. And I know he's getting asked about it, but something doesn't seem right, the fact that he's throwing it out there. I expect him to be there. He should know all this because he's guaranteed he's talking to Kyle every hour. Like, I almost have this take where it's not going well and Mike's trying to maybe apply some pressure from his area.
Yeah, well, I tweeted out earlier, I guess it was this morning, it seems like Babcock almost feels like the more he talks about it, maybe it will come true.
Yeah.
Like, he brought it up out of nowhere, you know, and, you know, we want to play way faster and... No, we can, you know, we're going to get to that, and Willie can fly, too. What the hell's that got to do with anything? Because usually whenever you ask him about something, he says, oh, I'm only talking about the players that are here.
Yeah.
He does it all the time. Players, well, I don't know, I don't have to worry about what line I'm going to play Matthews on because he's not ready to play, and, you know, we'll worry about that when he's ready. I don't even have a player yet.
What do you think he's trying to do, though, Ray? Like, is it just him trying to be hopeful, or is it him saying, hey, Kyle, like, get this done? Or I don't know. I don't understand the motivation of what is he doing?
See, the only thing I can think of is he's trying to, you know, tell Nylander how much they want him, how much they need him, and, you know, come on, get this done. Like, to apply pressure to your own general manager or try to do that publicly, eventually that game is going to blow up.
Yeah, well, you get fired
for that. Yeah, Mike's too smart for that.
Yeah.
I guess right now, though, you know, like whatever the difference is, my thought, Noodles, yours, you know, I hear your thought, but mine is that there is no negotiation left. I mean, you're niggling over now 150 grand per year or 200 grand per year. What the hell does that matter in the case of the money they're talking about?
Right.
Like, they're either in the ballpark or they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And 48 hours isn't going to matter anyway, or it's going to get done. But, you know, I mean, we're gonna wake up tomorrow and, you know, so there's few less hours, but it's not like they've got to hammer out any details. It's like, you taking the deal or not? Like,
exactly. I hope they've been doing something the past 5 months. You know, like the idea that they're, okay, maybe you got to cross some T's and dot some I's and work on a couple of minor details. But I would hope that the majority of the game of chicken that they've been playing.
Yeah, this hasn't snuck
out.
This hasn't snuck up on them.
No, everyone knows. Like, you know, now it's panic time. And if you're thinking that you're going to bridge a gap of $1 million a year, $1.5 million, that doesn't seem likely. I would like to believe they've kind of inched towards each other, and just a matter of who's going to finally blink and say, okay, I'll give you the extra $150 a year, or I'm not going to need the extra $150 a year. Because if it's bigger than that,
too,
who knows?
Yeah, Brian, the other thing is that, you know, back a few, you know, before the caps came in, you could negotiate bonuses, and that would always be like a real sticking point towards the end of any contract that I did.
Right.
You know, we'd be trying to get more bonus money at 20 goals, and they'd try to push it off to 30 goals. You know, it was like, it was always, you know, that was the sticking point for the most part. But now you can't do that.
No. And,
I mean, if they're really, really a long way apart on the structure of the contract now, then it's not getting done.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Kyle has to do his due diligence to circle back with teams to see what's on the table in a potential trade scenario. But I agree, right? Like, every contract that I ever was involved in, a lot of times the base was set, but you battled for a little bit extra bonus, because if you're looking at the sum of the contract, well, if you believe there was achievable bonuses, you can't do that with Willie. If he wanted to make $8 million and you say, we only have 6.5, well, guess what? You go and get 80 points, here's another $1.5 million bonus. You can't do that.
Can't do
now.
That anymore. And exactly. So, what are you really haggling over?
You
got
to try and be creative.
Yeah, I mean, and the idea that he would ride shotgun with Matthews, watching him return last night. This kid, he's had a knack for the big moment since he got here. And as I'm watching him pot two in the first last night and 3 points, I guess he didn't have two in the first. He had a point. He had a goal and an assist in the first, and then he tipped in the Johnson shot late. It made me think of the Boston series and how that just makes no sense now when you look back on it, because every big moment, including the first game of his career, this guy has always stepped up when the spotlight's been on him. Just makes no sense what happened in the playoffs last year.
Well, and then after time, don't you think if there's enough of those, that more often than not, you're gonna be pretty happy with what you see? I mean, just watching them on the ice yesterday and how that changes the look and the complexion of their team. You know, what did it take, 62 seconds for the first two power play goals?
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous. It's like it's a practice when they get set up in the zone. That was... He's an impressive guy, and they're, you know, if they can find the way to get this thing done, man, they're just oozing with offensive talent, with the ability to produce from several different lines. I mean, that Matthews just changes just about everything when he shows up there.
It'd be awfully painful next year if we're doing the same thing. Like, if we have to do it twice over again next year.
There's a chance, and let's not look forward to that. Like, that's
I'm just saying, it's painful.
But it's the business, and that stinks, but these guys are going to get paid a lot of money, and they're going to have to sort that out. But I want to go back to the power play. Like, you know, I think teams have done a pretty good job. Now, I know there was no real power plays. The Leafs had played a couple no-hitters there where we weren't seeing this power play, and it wasn't like it was on fire, you know, the last five or six games, because there just wasn't a lot of opportunities. But if you're trying to shut down that power play, yes, obviously the focus is on Marner and him distributing the puck. But now Matthew's shot, just it changes the whole dynamic of it again, because even if you work the top of the umbrella, you get it down to Matthews, you have to respect the shot. Then he fakes it and slides it to the back door to Tavares. Like, it's just a wealth or embarrassment of riches in that scenario.
Yeah, he can shoot it, though. Like, the goaltender, the reaction of the goaltender is, I have no idea where that is
It was a perfect shot, perfectly placed, and he used, I don't know who, I thought it was Vlasic's screen. There was a little bit of a screen that come through a leg.
Braun.
Was it Braun?
Braun.
Yeah, so it, but that's where you almost change the way you play against the Leafs a little bit, because you're like, okay, that's a potent power play. We got to be smart. If we're going to take a penalty, it better be a penalty.
San Jose had the best penalty kill in the league.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what should change is the way they kill penalties against them.
Right.
Because to me, their San Jose's scheme, best penalty kill in the league, was all wrong yesterday. And I think what's going to end up happening is teams are going to, you know, in the old days it used to be a box and now it kind of morphs around a little bit. But I think it's a diamond that you kill against. You have one guy up at the top in kind of in Riley's lane to the net, and he moves back and forth with Riley. You have two guys on kind of, you know, at the same depth as Kadri, and then you have the guy in front of the net, because you've got to take away the high pass, the high tip to Kadri.
Yeah.
You have to, but if you take it away like Braun did on the first goal, then it goes to Matthews, to Tavares, it's in the net. I'm almost thinking teams are going to back off and make Marner beat them with his shot.
Exactly. That's the only, for lack of better words, like Mitch has a good shot, he doesn't have a great shot. And I would take my chances. I'd try and cut the ice in half and take any type of options away and force him to shoot the puck more. Now, he's really good at creating deception, so you have to respect that at the last second he may establish a shot and then
he did it
roll
twice
his wrist.
Last night. He right. did it twice.
But I mean,
last
I'm
night.
Saying like
he does it
I'm
twice every game.
Exactly.
I can't believe penalty killers haven't funneled the puck the other way.
But,
and you don't even let him touch it.
But that's we've been saying this about Ovechkin for 13 years. Well, just go put someone over there.
Yeah,
go
it's
ahead.
Not going to happen.
Go ahead.
No, no. What I'm saying, though, Brian, is if you bring, if so, you picture it as a 1-2-1.
Yeah.
If you bring the two guys on the diamond in tighter around Kadri, that takes away that high pass. He becomes almost useless in there for Marner's perspective. And they're in it. They're in tight enough and in a lane enough that the penalty killer farthest away from Marner, he knows he's got two jobs. Make sure that the puck doesn't get to Kadri on the backside, and also it can't go from Marner to Matthews. Once it goes there, you might as well turn around and go sit down.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's in full scramble mode.
Yeah. If you ever watch a penalty kill, a seam pass causes major problems because everyone starts getting confused.
Right. You got to turn and adjust, like and the goalie's trying to look
5 foot pass
out.
On the perimeter, no problem, no problem. Goes through the seam. It
big
just
problem.
Goes Bedlam, to hell.
Especially on his stick. You give 34, like 5 feet in the slot.
Yeah,
good luck.
One foot.
Yeah, good
hey,
luck.
Do you remember at the start of the year, people were saying, oh, I don't know how this power play is going to work with Matthews over on his strong side. You know, they miss a right-hander there. It depends who the left-hander is.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't need, he looks just fine when he shoots the puck.
Quite comfortable. Yeah, I don't think he's too worried about it. All right, buddy. Well, we'll get we'll see what's in store tomorrow. I'm expecting big things out of you. I need more of your personal life on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, it's you know because we're rolling into the weekend here. We got to come up big tomorrow.
Yeah, think of something that's really really strange.
Get circumcised tomorrow.
Yeah, actually do that and then call in.
See, I think you should get your buddy to call in tomorrow.
Yeah. With Ray.
His former buddy.
Yeah,
it's not
exactly.
his buddy anymore.
I'm losing buddies here quickly.
I think this would be a ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
Just a full-blown interrogation.
That guy's Christmas card is just going to be a picture of his unit. Merry Christmas.
Rudolph.
Yeah, exactly.
He calls it Rudolph.
The anteater is dead. We got to fly, Ray.
All right, Razor.
Later on, boys.
Have a good day. Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.